morning, Covenant Church. Good morning, all you who are visiting us online. I'm glad you are here. I'm glad you made it. This morning, I want to focus a little bit, at least at the beginning, on our human nature. It's in our human nature that we are seeking revenge. We want to pay back. I have to confess, this is also my problem too. Not only a human problem, it's my problem. You all may know that the intersection of Highway 400 and Highway 401, always when we have to go to the airport or so, we are going there. It always happens to me, I line up all in time to go to the 401 West, and there are people who are pretending to take a different way, and the very last second they are squeezing in front of me. And now I have to confess, instead of saying, oh God, bless them, forgive them, they don't know what they do, I'm closer to pray God for a gun to shoot their tires flat. Human nature. I have to see if you can bend this a bit more. No. There is a guy, and he is one of our early forefathers in human history. His name was Lamech. And he was boasting to his wives, listen to me, you wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. One of the first things we hear of human life, you have to pay back. What you've done to me, you have to pay back. It's the old principle, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that's somehow implanted into us. The same is true for the opposite side. We don't want to get any gifts without paying back. Have you ever been invited for a nice dinner? What's your first thought after you hear the invitation? Oh, what can I take as a gift? Some flowers, some this, some that, a bottle of wine? It's the same thing. We don't want to get a gift. We want to kind of pay back for it. And the same thing is even true in the negative way. Have you ever thought, I'm writing Christmas cards to this and this person, and I never get one back. Why am I doing it? If you are invited, you're tempted to invite those people back to you, right? It's very hard for us to accept the free gift, and it's very hard for us to take some injury or some hurt without paying back the other way. That's human nature. Now, interestingly enough, we don't stop applying this to our human relationships. We start applying this also to our relationship to God. Let me read a word from Genesis 4. That is in the very beginning of human life on earth. I read from Genesis 4, the verses 3 to 5. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry, and his face was downcast. There is no report in the book of Genesis that God asked people to bring offerings. It's an assumption that we all may make because offerings come in the book of Exodus thousands of years later, that God already asked Cain and Abel or Adam and Eve to bring offerings, to build altars, to sacrifice something. There is nothing like this mentioned in the book of Genesis. So could it perhaps be that the system of building altars and bringing offerings is a human idea? Maybe we humans try to impress God by bringing something. It says here that Abel's offering was accepted in the eyes of God, but Cain's wasn't. We don't know how that was seen. The Bible doesn't say that. And my question is, why did God accept the one and not the other offering? Maybe it's a question of the motive. Maybe, and it's just my idea, and you don't have to follow this. Maybe it was Abel who was just thankful to God that he was blessed, that he got so much for his life, that he got enough to live, that he said, okay, I will bring back something to God and do it in this kind of offering. It may be that Cain brought some offering because he wanted to impress God, or he wanted to make God look upon him with special favor, or he wanted kind of blackmail God later. I give you something, so you have to give me something. The idea, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, may even appear here in the relationship between God and men. What is the motive that we do certain things? What's the motive for us to support the church financially? Do we do it because we're thankful to God that we have enough for our living and we can do it? And or is our motive, I give you something, God, and you have to bless me? Those who know me a little bit longer, they know that I like to dress like this on a Sunday. Why am I doing this? I'm not doing it to impress you, and I'm not doing it to impress God. If you would see me running around during the week in my shabby working dress, you would understand that I want to make a difference. This is my day off, and that's why I'm dressing differently. But believe me that I know people who think they have to wear a black suit and a tie when they come to church, no matter how hot the day is and the sun is shining. because they think they have to bring something to God, they have to suffer this sweat and this uncomfort just to bring something to God. We cannot bring anything to God. And God does not command or demand offerings from us. We cannot bribe God. It doesn't work with God, a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye and a life for a life. That's human. That's not what God is in his nature. Does God need our sacrifices? Does God need anything that we can do or not do? God doesn't need that. I've heard of pastors telling their church, if you don't give financial support for the church because you love to do it and you are thankful for what you've got from God, then don't do it, because God can give us what we need as a church anytime. It may sound a little bit difficult for some, and especially for some pastors that might be a bit difficult not to know how much financial support the church gets, but isn't it that way? God doesn't need what we do for him. God's nature is totally different from that. God's nature is love. God's nature is such a huge and unprecedented love that we have a hard time to understand it. Let me read one paragraph of the teachings of Jesus that shows us this side of God is great love. We find that in Matthew in chapter 18, and I want to read the verses 23 to 35 with you. Jesus was teaching, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Forgiveness is the direct consequence of love. God is love. That's why God wants to forgive. Jesus is telling this parable to show us there is nothing that is serious enough that God couldn't forgive. This man owed his king, his master, 1,000 bags of gold. Have you any imagination of what that's worth? I just looked it up this week, and I found, first of all, gold has a density of 19 point something tons per cubic meter, which means it's about almost 20 times as heavy as water. Or, let me explain it that way, a kilogram bar of gold has about the size of a 50 gram bar of chocolate. This is such a small piece. That's a kilogram of gold. Now, how many of these little pieces do you think would go in a bag? And that man owned thousands of bags. Now, 1 kilogram of gold right now is worth about $50,000. So one of these bags of gold that are mentioned here is already worth millions. And a million times 1,000 is a billion. So we are talking of billions that this man owed to his king. And that king just can say, with the move of his fingers, forgiven. That's God. That's God's love. And you know what I found when I read this? It's never mentioned anywhere that there was a ransom paid, or that some other person said something good about that man owing here. God doesn't need that. When you are in front of God and you say, please forgive me, God wants to forgive you. That's his nature. Totally different from our human nature that we talked about a couple of minutes before. God's nature is to forgive, and God's nature is to love. And his nature is to love so much that he even doesn't ask for anything else but just that we tell him we need your forgiveness. Jesus tells another parable. I won't read that with you. We all know that very well. The parable, some call it the parable of the prodigal son, some call it the parable of the lost son. That son comes only near home, and the father runs to him and hugs him and says, I forgive you. He doesn't ask that son to pay any cent back of what he had wasted. And there is nobody who has to come and tell the father, oh, please be gracious to your son. This is God's love. Now, what I want to say now could be misunderstood, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. I hope you don't misquote me, because it may sound too radical to you. Here it comes. I see some critical momentum in the theology of only by the blood of Jesus, and Jesus is the Lamb of God. Why? First, it reduces Jesus' life just to the very few last hours and makes him just the Lamb of God. Jesus did more. I don't want to take anything away from what Jesus did, but he did more for us than just being the Lamb of God. He was a teacher. He was living God's love among human beings. And interestingly enough, Jesus never referred to himself by the Lamb of God. He never said, "I am the Lamb of God." What did he say? "I am the Son of Man. I'm here to teach you and I'm here to show you God's love." So we are missing a lot if we just condense Jesus' life to being the Lamb of God. And the second is, by doing so, we may think that God needs that payment. If there was no Lamb of God, then God couldn't forgive us. If there was no Redeemer, if there was no ransom paid, then God couldn't forgive us. That's not what Jesus teaches in his parables. He just says God loves you so much he wants to forgive you. So please don't misunderstand me. I see Jesus as a Lamb of God. I see the blood of Jesus is mentioned in the New Testament quite a bit, but I don't want to reduce it just to this. I don't want to condense it just to that, because God's love is so amazing and so amazingly great that we cannot believe it. God wants to forgive us just because he loves us. Now that story has a little hook at the end. And to explain that, maybe I should tell you a fictive story. It's really fictive, and unfortunately I couldn't ask Pastor John for his permission to mention his name, but I hope he will do that. So let's assume today or in the past I said something that Pastor John cannot accept. Or he said something that I think I cannot accept. So finally we have to get clear somehow. So I come into his office and we start arguing. It gets louder and finally I just yell at him, but he doesn't get my point. So what am I doing? I'm slamming the door. I say, "That was it. I never will set foot back again into this church, and I'm leaving." And then I'm looking for another church. Maybe I find one and I live happily ever after. Now the thing is, I won't live forever. Also, Pastor John, he is younger than I am. He could be my son, but he won't live forever. And we all know that planet Earth won't exist forever. So whatever happens first, the day may come Pastor John and I meet in heaven. What will we do? Yelling at each other? Or going each other out of the way? Heaven will be big enough so that we don't have to see each other if we don't want. Let me say that. All that won't happen for one simple reason. I won't make it to heaven. If my heart is not forgiving, no matter what dispute I have with somebody else, I won't make it. That's what Jesus says here. We experience the great forgiveness of God. And all God wants us to do is be open for forgiveness. Make this love your own love, and forgiveness is the pure consequence of love. Before I pray, let me say that. I hope to see you here next week, next Sunday. I hope to see you here many more Sundays. But first of all, I hope to meet you once in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have such a great and abundant love for us that you want to forgive us, that you don't mind what we have done, you don't mind what is on our negative account, you just are able to forgive us because you love us so much. Lord, open our hearts for this love, open our hearts for forgiveness, and Lord, just let it come true to us that our life is a mirror of your love in this earth here, on this earth here, and in this neighborhood here, that people may see your love by seeing how we treat each other. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.